Hello, this is Pastor Marv Nelson, and I'll be standing in for Pastor Rock this week as we continue our journey through 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. As we look at this week's reading, I'd like to focus on a small portion of the reading that led me to a broader topic. We will go on a journey together today that is launched from this week's reading into the idea of asking for the Holy Spirit's filling. As I was reading to prepare for this week's commentary, I got stuck on Matthew 7:7-11, and it says this: Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This passage led me to the cross-reference that happens in Luke chapter 11. And in that passage, Jesus adds this little tidbit to the end. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is where I was stopped. As we look at this week's reading, Jesus gives a lot of do's and don'ts. He speaks to us, and the words he states convict us. Many times we can be tempted when reading a grouping of passages, such as Matthew 1 through 10, to attempt to then pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and do it all on our own. The simple matter of fact is this: we can't do it on our own. Jesus didn't come to give us simple platitudes to follow. He gave us a roadmap of what a Spirit-filled life will look like. In both of my vans, I have a tire indicator light that lets me know when my tires are low on air. If I'm completely honest, I tend to ignore them for a long time, as I'm sure many of you do. One such time was when my Toyota van had a nail stuck in it. The light was on for days and days until I saw with my eyes how low the tire was. A couple of days went by and the light came back on. Again, I ignored it until I saw physical evidence that the tire was low. This happened on and off for about a month. Finally, I decided to take the tire to the tire shop and see if I needed a new tire, because it continued to flatten. They found a nail in the tire, but were able to patch it for just $10. The light kept letting me know there was a problem. The tire was not filled and was slowly getting worse as a result. In our spiritual life, we have indicator lights as well. Sadly, many believers don't know what they are or how to fix the problem. We may try to patch it ourselves, but the leak seems to never end, just like it never ended in my tire. We may seek to do more in service to the Lord, or read the Bible more, or live a Matthew 1 through 10 life, but it never seems to be enough. Sometimes we ignore the indicator lights so long that it becomes completely apparent to us and those around us that there's a problem within. Maybe your whole Christian walk has been this constant struggle, and you wonder why you have never felt quite right. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the answer to our spiritual emptiness. Many fear what the implications of such an event are, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and so avoid talking about it, or ignore it when it's mentioned. As believers who seek to be on mission, who seek to grow in intimacy with the Lord, and who seek to follow Christ and His words, we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit or His filling. So the question we must answer is, what is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and how do we receive it? I think many times we're afraid of that conversation because of the history that goes around the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, it is a biblical imperative for the believer. The first thing I want to say about this is that being filled is the most powerful promise to God's people. If you were to look at Acts 2:38-39, you would read this: And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise that he is talking about is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is a life promised to all believers. It is a promise and a gift. It is what we are to ask for as believers, to have our spiritual tires filled up so we can go where we are called to go. Every believer has the Holy Spirit, for he dwells within every believer. However, every believer is not necessarily living the Spirit-filled life. It is a promise many have not grasped. A.W. Tozer once said this, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. The Spirit-filled life is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." The filling of the Holy Spirit is a powerful promise. I state it as the most powerful promise because without this filling, you and I are incapable of doing what God has called us to do, and we're missing out on the even greater things that Jesus promised us that we would see. This is for all believers, not just some, not just missionaries, not just pastors, not just whatever. It is for every believer who calls on the name of Jesus. We can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only can we do what Jesus has done, we can, as he said, do even more than he did. So what does this filling do for the life of the believer, and why is it so important? Because when we are filled, there are tangible results. These results, much like knowing a tire is filled, can be physically and tangibly experienced in the life of the believer. The main things we see in the life of a Spirit-filled person are these: a growing and desired intimacy with God, love beyond reason, joy unspeakable, indescribable peace, zeal for holiness, boldness in evangelism, spiritual authority and power, the release of spiritual gifts, and an obvious release of the fruits of the Spirit. Basically, everything Jesus talks about in Matthew 1 through 10 in our reading from this week cannot happen without being filled with the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said, "I never met a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit and did not know it." We will know it when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say this, don't fall into shame or comparison. The reality is this: many of you may have been filled, but you just didn't know what to call it. There may have been times you recognized something different in your spiritual walk. You may have had more authority or a releasing of a new spiritual gift, but didn't have the words for the experience. I believe in those moments, there was most likely a filling. Looking at these scriptures, it is imperative we understand what the filling is. The next thing we must see is that being filled is a sacrifice of self to the extent of full surrender. In Acts 5:18, it says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, commands the followers that are there to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He uses a very interesting contrast, drunkenness on wine, and he uses that in contrast to then being filled. He's saying, in essence, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. Be intoxicated with him. Give him control over everything. And when a person is drunk on wine, they're under the influence. Being filled is drunkenness on the Spirit. Being filled is allowing the Spirit full access, where we are emptied out and he fills the empty space where we are under his influence. We are influenced by the Holy Spirit. This will mean radical obedience, a releasing of our idols, and a presentation of ourselves as living sacrifices. He may call us to do uncomfortable things. This filling may take us out of our comfort zone. It may challenge our view of the gifts we thought we had. We may move in the prophetic or healing, and it may cause us some trepidation. Yet this surrender is rewarded with power from on high. The disciples needed this filling, and so do we. We cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if we do not want to be. You see, the disciples wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so before I talk about how to be filled, we must answer the question, do you and I really want to be filled? Knowing that there's this self-sacrifice that will happen in the midst of this surrendering to the Spirit, giving him access and influence to us, do we really want that? Looking at these scriptures, it is also imperative that we understand what the filling is. We've explored that. Now we must seek to uncover how we receive this filling. To be filled, we must desire it, and then we must pursue that which is promised. Much of the deeper life is pursuit. Our desire to pursue God and His desire to pursue us. The filling of the Spirit is no different. If the Father makes a promise, He means what He says. We must then ask for that which He has promised to us. He will not give what we do not want, as we have stated before. Asking Him for His promise is displaying our desire. Go hard after the promise and ask for His filling. This is also not a one-time experience. We can continually be filled and filled again. We will always step in and fill the space with ourselves time and time again if we do not ask the Holy Spirit to fill those spaces in our lives. The main thing to catch, however, is when we ask, is that we ought to ask with expectation, but without an agenda. Too often when it comes to something such as this, we live in comparison and desire what others have. We try to say, man, this is what the filling should look like, or this is what I want the filling of the Holy Spirit to look like in my life. And so we put parameters around God with His filling, and we say, here's what it should be. I expect you to fill me as long as it fits this criteria. And what it should be when we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit is an expectation that He is going to meet us, fill us, change us, transform us, but we should never have an agenda as to what that should look like. That's not surrender. Surrender is saying, whatever you want to do, do it. And we then pursue that which is promised by asking. Matthew 7 and Luke 11 promise when we ask, we will receive. The next thing we need to do after we pursue the promise and ask for the filling is to follow up on the filling with obedience. Many times when filled, the Spirit will call us to something. It may be to release a prophetic word. It may be to have a desire to read more or write more. It may be to be bold in our witness or rest in peace where you feel restless. Many of the tangible results will be what we are called to on a new or deeper level. When you feel that tug from the Holy Spirit after you've been filled and He's calling you to something, do it. This obedience will increase the anointing and have results that are not just for the moment. The filling or the anointing is for deeper intimacy and for stronger aptitude to fulfill mission. It is not simply for us alone. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not just a personal experience. It is for the sake of the world that you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, that there is something that He will call us to, that He has filled us to the brim so that we are empowered to do that which He's called us to do. Let me give you a short story. There was a time when I went to a Giant Eagle on Brighton Road near my house. And while I was there, there was a teenage girl who was in the checkout line. So when I come to the checkout line and I'm one person behind, the Holy Spirit says to me, she needs me. She's hurting and she's in pain. Tell her about me. And when I got to the checkout and she was there scanning in my items for purchase, I ignored what the Holy Spirit was saying. I didn't want to do it. I had just recently received a new filling of the Holy Spirit, and He was calling me to obedience, and I ignored Him. He found His way around by bringing her back into my life, where the intern at ACAC and Student Ministries at the time was dating this girl. And so she came to church. She was there. And again, He nudged me to speak to her about the hope of the gospel, because when I saw her in the checkout line, I noticed that her arms were cut. She was cutting herself because of her depression and pain. But yet I ignored God again. And for about 6 or 7 months, God was silent. Not because He was punishing me, but because it was this sense of, if you're not going to follow my voice, why should I speak? And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I should follow up that filling with obedience so that we can continue to be filled, continue to hear the voice of the Lord, and follow in obedience. Because it's for mission, it's not just for ourselves. If you answered yes to the question earlier, of do you desire the filling of the Holy Spirit? I want to challenge you, as soon as this recording ends, simply sit down, kneel down, or lay down and ask for the Spirit of the Lord to fill you and empower you to do all that He asks. We ought to walk filled and no longer walk empty. The tires of our lives should not be flat. They should be filled. And so I challenge you, as you read this week, Matthew 1 through 10, don't look at that and say, oh, I got to pull myself up by the bootstraps. But look and say, Holy Spirit, fill me so I can do what Jesus is calling me to do. Have a great week as you serve the Lord.